7:46 at WGCL. Every Friday morning and Monday morning, we check with Joe Smith live on the telephone. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
I'm just dandy. How you doing on this pre-Father's Day weekend?
Well,
happy Father's Day.
Yeah, and happy Father's Day to you. I wish I had a better forecast to give everybody because...
Oh, well.
Yeah, I can't do anything about it, but I guess if we were going to do anything on the last weekend of spring, we'd rather have it hot than cold. That's how I'm dressing it up. So you've got more choices to do things when it's nice and warm outside as opposed to sitting around saying, hey, when's it going to rain? It's too cold. So we're going to have a great weekend regardless, Joe, and you're going to get us ready for all of it as we've really wrapped up everything. This is the last weekend, I believe, of any high school event as the baseball goes on, but we've had some great performances all spring long, and we have the Conference Indiana All Conference from North and South and other news and notes and quotes. Get us wrapped up on the high school beat here on a Friday morning.
Well, the numbers are in for Conference Indiana Spring All Conference, and North and South athletes and coaches very prominent as we kind of place a bow on things for the spring of 2018. 33 locals made All Conference spread out across six sports that we had this spring. Track and field coaching veterans, Larry Williams of South, Justin Helmer of North, grab Coach of the Year honors with 19 of their total athletes making All Conference in boys track and field. Both were crowned Conference Indiana champs earlier this spring, if you'll recall. And making the honor roll, Jack Gillard and Luke Hensley, Jonathan Dodrill, Ian Shaw of South, Kobe Sterner, Drew Warren, Isaiah Hollers, Paul Rustin, and Ben Iovino. Of the Cougars over on the girls' side, Mackenzie Carver of the Maroon and Gold, Olivia Kaiser, Maya Haggerty, and Kaylee Clark, Grace Williams, and Abby Armstrong, along with young lady who talked a lot about this spring, Dontrese Barbie, who finished third at the state in the shot put. Jordan Munson represented Bloomington South All-Conference in track and field. Elsewhere in baseball, Harry Delianis, Dylan Steele, Ian Wilson, off of Richard Hurt's North Cougars, Mitchell Gingrich, along with Grant Smethurst of Bloomington South, Phil Klusner's bunch. Softball, Deb Jones and Casey Wisely of North, Lizzie Halstead of South, and then golf, Drew Todd, Thomas Tierney, and Seth Kostranek of South, and Jay Stay of North. And in tennis, Maya Mills of South, young lady who took her sectional or regional singles titles with her to the state quarterfinals, and Norse Joy Battacharia. Conference Indiana, all conference, talked a lot about those kids, quite often all of them richly deserving. Well, instead of taking a well-deserved little break, Edgewood AD Mick Hammett and fellow ADs of the WIC now looking for a replacement ASAP for Class 2A Cascade, who's making a move to the Indiana Crossroads Conference for 2019-20. It's kind of caused a cascade of problems, really, with future scheduling, especially in football and basketball for the 12-team WIC. Football has always kept Week 9 open since they went to split divisions for those crossover games, determining a conference champion each and every fall. Timing, certainly not good, and maybe Cascade should have read the bylaws of the Western Indiana Conference, which stipulates that any departure requires a 22-month notice. Well, Cascade informed league ADs and principals last month, so it never gets dull for Mick, who's in the midst of, well, football renovations for 2019 themselves, including, we hear, an all-red football service out of the Mustang Corral that we might see pop up sooner or later. A little bit later, we'll talk about the Reds. They stay on the road, move into Pittsburgh. They're on a three-game winning streak, and we'll tell you why later today on one of our reports. They're on the radio in Pittsburgh tonight, first pitch at 7:05. I'm Joe Smith.
And a busy weekend as well, Joe. I know you were following the U.S. Open yesterday. Shinnecock Hills, a legendary course, chewed up and spit out some of the world's greatest players. 29 rounds of 80 or worse, including, by a professional, a round of 92. Gee whiz, that's a championship golf.
Well, that's the U.S. Open, and you know, you and I have talked about it, and that's the way it should be. We've had some tournaments where, you know, obviously, let me let Woody out. Come on, Wood. He's knocked everything out of the...
I was pretty good today, though.
Out of the bathroom now, so... But Woody's team is 26 over going into the round number two. But, hey, I'm all for it. You know, let's go play. I hope the winds are, you know, not with the gusts. But and you say early on it doesn't appear to be that way.
Well, so, compared to yesterday, they're not. But the flag on 11 is blowing in the wind at 7:52 in the morning on Long Island. So there is some wind for sure. It's just not going to be, I don't think, as brutal as perhaps it was yesterday.
No, I think what was that stat I saw? We were 16 strokes shy of 1,000, what, over par.
Yeah.
Correct?
It's hard.
Wow.
It's a hard, hard game. Rory McIlroy had 80 of them. Jordan Spieth, Tiger Woods, John Rahm. I could go on and on. I could give you two Ryder Cup teams of guys that shot 77 or 8 or worse, including Phil Mickelson. Tiger Woods got off to a terrible start, fell asleep in the middle of his round, lost more shots. It's all to play for, but there's really not surprise. Last week's winner, the 2016 U.S. Open champion, Dustin Johnson, one of four players in red numbers. That's it. Jason Duffner was even par, only 5 of 156 at par or better, so it should make for a great day today. Joe, the top 60 in ties will play the weekend. The 10-shot rule has been thrown out. That was a few years ago, so for people maybe casually following along, that used to be a thing for a really long time. And the other change this year we need to remember, if the leaderboard stays bunched up, there is no 18-hole playoff on Monday. It is a two-hole aggregate, and then sudden death after that. They want to crown a champion on Father's Day Sunday.
I'm glad you brought that up. I had forgotten about that. That's good.
Brand new change this year, so
that's fair.
It'll be interesting with all that. When we get together next time around, we've got the USA Track and Field Championships in town this week. My goodness, that's good. They're going to be hot, ready to go. We've got obviously Reds baseball to deal with as well. The World Cup is, if you're not getting the golf till 9:30, FS1 has World Cup action for you starting at 8:00. Uruguay and Egypt. Oh, baby. Let's get things started.
Yeah, I'm going to interview you a little next hour about the World Cup.
Oh, sounds good.
Eight different groups, but how does that all work? We'll do that.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I'll give you the details on that. Make it 8:40. I don't want to wait that long.
Okay,
I like spending time with you on Friday, so let's do that.
All right, sounds great.
All right, buddy, we'll get caught up next hour. Here we are on Big Show Friday. We'll do a little extra time with Joe Smith this morning. I always love getting caught up with Smitty. Good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. We turned the animal channel on for Woody, so he's resting right now. So,
Big Cat Friday. Well, we've got Tiger Woods activity going on in the golf course. Maybe
he can
watch a little bit of that this morning. So the large cat is playing with Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas, and is 1 under par today. He's hovering right around the cut line, Joe. But as I mentioned before the break there, the overcast skies, hopefully they'll keep a little bit more moisture in the green, make some pins more attackable, if that's a word, and maybe we'll see some more birdies today after the very difficult conditions.
Interesting thing that they were talking about, and they didn't really expect the winds to shift over and blow out of the northwest, and that's what surprised, the course set up for a lot of the players, so hopefully it's not howling as much. Attackable is now a word because you just said it, so... that being said, while sticking with the U.S. Open and they're early on in the second round, what do you figure the cut will be? And go through that process that we had talked about earlier, because there has been a change when we get around to Sunday.
The top 60, usually tour events are the top 70 in ties, so a little bit different here. They want to have the rounds take a little bit longer here, Joe, so they want less players to that degree. The top 60 in ties will play the weekend, and right now for the tournament, if they said, hey, we're going to cut it at this moment, that would be +6. Tiger Woods is at +7. Phil is at +7. Spieth is at +8. So there's plenty to play for today. So some of those disaster rounds of round number one, the tournament is not over in the sense that maybe – might be over in the sense they can't win the golf tournament, but it is not over in a chance to make a move. You never know how these things go. If someone gets out in the morning on Saturday and shoots 65 and gains 5 shots and the wind picks up in the afternoon, that's why we watch. Very exciting times there. So that cut does move throughout the day, but it is the top 60 in ties. There is no 10-shot rule that will bring in the rest of the field. That's it. They want to make sure they can get this thing in and done if they have any weather on it. Now, the big Father's Day weekend, we've got baseball returning to the radio tonight. There hasn't been a lot of times this spring where you and I have sat here and talked about the Reds' big three-game winning streak.
Right.
But it's nice to look up and see one run or three runs against St. Louis, one run against Kansas, no runs at all. I think that the Reds should move to the Missouri Conference, Joe, where you play Kansas City and, well, maybe not St. Louis. That didn't work out well. But the Royals and Reds, the Redlegs, three in a row, they're taking on Pittsburgh tonight.
Well, the Reds on the radio tonight, and Matt Harvey, who's 1-4 since the Reds picked him up from the Mets after his release earlier in the spring, will toe the rubber tonight for Cincinnati as they move into Pittsburgh. And we mentioned the pitching in this current three-game winning streak. The rotation's ERA is 1.40. And back when we were talking about Reds baseball in late April and May, that ERA was 5.7, so a drastic change there. And, you know, it's a matter of sustaining things. We have the Reds. They have been a better road team. They're 14-20 away from the Great American Ballpark, and they go into Pittsburgh tonight playing the weekend series with the Pirates, and a team that got off Pittsburgh to a tremendous start in April, and all of a sudden they've won six of their last 24. So it's a matter of going in and sustaining things and maybe working and taking a three-game winning streak to maybe a six or seven when they get back to the Great American Ballpark. So, making up some ground in the division, and it can start tonight with 7 o'clock pregame with Matt Harvey on the hill for the Reds. Haven't been able to say it, but we have a couple of late-night scores, not in your morning dailies. We haven't been able to say that for over a year and a half, but Arizona beat the Mets, who are really struggling. They've lost 10 of their last 11 now. Arizona wins that one 6-3. David Peralta hit a couple of solo home runs, and a couple of Woody's favorite Arizona Diamondbacks, Jake Lamb and Paul Goldschmidt, also homered for Arizona, who sits in first place in front of the Dodgers in the West. They had a great series out in Seattle that came to a close yesterday evening as Boston won its 48th of the year as they shaded the Seattle Mariners 2-1, snapping their four-game winning streak. And here's Boston sitting now with 48 wins and tucked a half game behind the Yankees as we move into the weekend. Xander Bogaerts' home run was the decisive hit in that one. David Price pitched his eighth win of the year. So a couple of games that got over late that did not appear in your morning box scores as we shift from baseball to track and field. And, you know, we look at the caveat of this weekend's National Junior USA Track and Field Championships, the spots on the USA team in the upcoming IAAF World U20 Championships. Those will be held next month over in Finland. So what we have here, although we have no local qualifiers, and we'll get to where they are this weekend in a minute, but we have plenty of competition of former state champs. Emma Wilson, who we talked about quite extensively, the young lady from Greencastle, who was all WIC, will be running the 3,000-meter steeplechase and the 3,000 meters, which is her cup of tea. But we have a lot of former state champions coming back to where they won state titles just a couple of weeks ago and visited Bloomington, and IU held the IHSA State Track and Field Championship. So they're back at Armstrong, and competition will run out there at the Hall Complex through Sunday. And they're also going to incorporate some of the action out at Armstrong Stadium. Now, I've been talking about volunteers. Always are welcome. You can come and sign up today and be part of the action this weekend. It's another big weekend for Visit Bloomington and IU, as they are partnering to yet do another thing, which they do well, and that's host amateur championships, which they'll do through Sunday. A season ticket, I think, is the best way to go. for the weekend, $30 for adults and $20 for kids 18 and under. And I, you know that I've been wanting to get to, and I will now, and that's the fact that Amanda Cahill, we all know what Amanda did in helping along with Tyra Buss and the rest of the IU women of Terry Moore to win the WNIT this past year. She, along with IU track and field sophomore sprinter William Session, named Indiana's recipients of the Big Ten Outstanding Sportsmanship Award. The pair taken as two of the 28 selected from a group of, well, we had over 350 honored through the academic year who certainly had displayed positive sportsmanship. One member of each varsity sports team on every Big Ten campus was chosen by his or her institution as a Sportsmanship Award honoree. So obviously those two are quite outstanding in the classroom as well as on the hardwood and in the field of track and field. Again, congrats to Amanda Cahill and William Session. Session, obviously, will be back for a few more years for Ron Helmer, and he was a two-time NCAA Championships qualifier in the 110-meter hurdles. That's his cup of tea, but he's a young sophomore, a junior-to-be, pursuing a degree in media advertising. So we'll hear more a lot from William Session over the next couple of years for Ron Helmer. We have racing tonight. The Harf boys are in town. It's HARF night down at the Southside Oval, the quarter-mile clay, with hot laps starting at about 6:30 and green flag 7:30 as the Superstocks, the Race Saver Sprints, and the 410 Sprints will be on the program there. Again, Reds on the radio in Pittsburgh tonight, pregame at 7 o'clock. I'm Joe Smith.
All right, Smitty, and those Red Legs on the road have played better. Pittsburgh is ice cold.
Yeah, that's
Detroit has lost Miguel Cabrera for the year.
Yeah, so, you know, you're taking a look at Pittsburgh floundering around at 6 wins in their last 24, and the Reds have won 14 of 34 on the road this year. So, you know, you look at the overall standings, it doesn't look good, but obviously
you can start
better.
You can turn it around.
Being 16 out in the Central, but, you know, respectability is what they're looking for. And, you know, with Harvey, we mentioned a little about Matt Harvey, the victim of giving up the gopher ball, that's gotten him in trouble. Now, that being said, he settled down after giving up three in his last start, but he settled down and worked into the sixth inning before he was relieved. And we mentioned, and I know you've mentioned all of this week, especially in the series that was just concluded out in Kansas City, that the Reds' rotation, especially the bullpen, has been very
bullpen's been great all year, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so that's not been a problem. It's just, you know, the night they hit, they can't get solid pitching, and then they go out and get a Romano pitches decently the other night, and finally, you know, as you said, you've not been on him, but hey, you know, when
credit
he pitches,
where credit's due.
Give him credit, you know, so they got to get the arms and the bats.
Synced.
One-on-one against each other and take it from there. So.
Vote for Scooter Jeanette as an all-star. He absolutely deserves it. He's batting 341.
Yeah.
He's having a fantastic year. At one point, he was leading the National League in RBIs. I don't know if that's still the case. I noticed you mentioned threw in Paul Goldschmidt there. You survived the first 2 months of baseball season with Paul Goldschmidt. Good for you. He was batting about 120.
And, 143.
Yeah.
I mean,
and now he hit 20 home runs last week.
It was horrid. He's finally starting to hit the long ball. Lamb was hurt. Woody's been tearing his fur out because, you know, his rotisserie team has seven on the DL. Lamb was one of them, but he's finally back at third base. And as I mentioned, he had a home run last night for Arizona. So they need those two to really click in here as we move through June and get ready to go because their pitching has been pretty decent, you know, and healthy.
Tiger Woods made a birdie earlier in his round, Joe, but it might have been the last hole that could set the tone for the day. Woods had 73 yards on a par four for his third shot. He's a little crooked off the tee, hit a wedge to about a foot and a half, kicked it in for par. Maybe that's the momentum boost he needs today. He's plus seven. Dustin Johnson, Russell Henley leading the proceedings at minus two. Jason Duffner, the only one of the one-unders on the course right now. Duffner birdied his first hole and is one behind the leaders. Halftime time in Russia. Uruguay, yeah. Nil. Egypt, nil. It's group stage play. I know you wanted to talk about this, and I'll do so quickly.
Yeah, eight groups. How does this work? How long is this going to run now?
Eight groups of four will play round robin. So at you'll play each member of your group, win 3 points, tie 1 point, obviously no points for a loss. The team after group play that accumulates the most points will move on. The top two teams actually in each group will move on. So we'll take 32 down to 16. Once we get to 16 and pair them all up, we will have elimination football. We'll have extra time and penalties if the 120 minutes can't solve it. So we're going to play 90 minutes here for the next few weeks, and then when we get into the knockout stage, then we'll be 90 minutes, then 30 minutes after that, then penalties. So we don't have to worry about that just yet. Everybody's going to get a chance to play everybody in their group once. We'll determine the winners on points, and then we'll get into tiebreakers like goal differential, goals scored. We'll worry about that when it comes to it. They play about every 3 to 4 days in the group, so obviously the folks playing today won't play probably until next Wednesday or so. So this will take about 3 weeks, and then the elimination play will go. Yeah, we'll be until probably about the middle of July for that, right before the All-Star break in baseball. So we'll have
just briefly. I see all these countries, but where did the U.S. go amiss?
They did not qualify. They had a chance to do so with a draw in their final qualification game in their regional qualifying. They did not get that draw. They lost. Italy did not qualify either. Neither did the Netherlands. So some big hitters missing out. That's always the case. Somebody's you can't fit them all in there. But that's where the U.S. missed out. So hopefully we'll see them in 2022.
Hey, Pop, have a great Father's Day. I know your mom's up from Florida, so enjoy the weekend, my friend.
We will, and you as well, and I'll be in touch with you over the weekend. And we'll do it all Monday. We'll have a ton of stuff to get caught up with, my goodness.
Sounds good.
All right, Joe, thanks. Great job as always. Joe Smith, Monday mornings, Fridays, big show Fridays.